This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Feels great since it's the first day, you know, getting a taste of what it's like here. Really exciting, really happy. I mean, not only, you know, to be here with my family and stuff, but also to be able to have Roma Dunze at number 9. It's pretty sick, right? You know, so really happy, really excited, ready to get going.
That was Caleb Williams after he was drafted first overall by the Bears last year. Why are we going back that far? Because of an article on ESPN that just came out detailing quotes from his dad, Carl, in part of a blockbuster book, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback that is set to be released in September. The author of the book now joins us on the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa app today. It is Seth Wickersham of ESPN and the author of this book who got the quotes from Carl Williams, Caleb's dad. Thank you for joining us on Raheemy and Harris on The Score.
Hey, great to talk to you guys.
Seth, we're just so curious because this came out of nowhere in terms of we're moving on with Ben Johnson as the head coach, Caleb Williams getting a fresh start after what had to be a frustrating rookie year in which his team lost 10 games in a row. And so much was unearthed here in these quotes that you got both before the draft and I guess the update when you talked with Carl Williams again after that rocky rookie season. Help us understand exactly what Carl's mindset was and why he wanted his son to avoid playing for the Chicago Bears and ultimately what changed their minds.
Well, look, I think that Carl is a very astute guy, and we can talk about, you know, the unhinged quarterback dads all we want, but there's like a point to this, and that's that a lot of the success for quarterbacks depends on luck and it depends on your employer. And he wanted his son to have the best chance of success and to go to a team that, you know, had an established and innovative offensive mind. And, you know, he wanted to try to figure out ways for that to happen, whether it was, you know, he tried to find like any loophole he could. He consulted with lawyers, people like Marvin Demoff, Archie Manning, who helped do a little bit of that with Eli Manning back in the day. They considered whether to sign with the United Football League, you know, for a year and then be, if that would let him be an unrestricted free agent now. But as it got closer, it was just clear that their options were limited. You know, the only thing he could really do was return to school. He didn't want to do that. And so they went forward with the draft process. He went to the combine. He met with the Bears and he met also with Kevin O'Connell, head coach of the Vikings. And he really vibed well with O'Connell, so much to the point where he kind of started to dream of working with him. Obviously, that was a real long shot because the Vikings are a divisional rival, and I don't think the Bears were going to trade Caleb or the pick to a divisional rival. So it kind of left it to them as like, you know, what are you going to do? And Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, told Caleb, we're drafting you no matter what. And so really his only option was to try to do what Jack and John Elway did in 1983, and that's, you know, go after a city and make it, the situation untenable. Carl Williams was ready to do it if that's what his son wanted. But at the end of the day, Caleb didn't want to. And as he told me, I wasn't ready to nuke Chicago. And, you know, after he visited the Bears, he came back and said, you know, I can do it here. I want to be a Bear.
I think, Seth, a lot of the way this is constructed, the reports from Carl to you,
mm-hmm.
they take a lot of blame off of Caleb Williams. And I, you know, obviously that is that's how we're reading it at face value. And I know that he has that reputation of wanting to do everything he possibly can for us. So we knew all about the team that Caleb had around him leading up to this draft. What was the sense you got as far as when he was telling you these things, the intent? Was it an honesty? Was it candor? Was it the fact that he's lamenting the fact that he's here? What do you think it was?
I don't know. I mean, I spent time with, you know, Carl and Caleb before his final season at USC. You know, obviously Carl and Caleb to a certain extent were thinking a lot about the draft in the lead up to the draft. So a little bit of a ongoing conversation. And then, you know, I just kept reporting on it. I mean, that's kind of, you know, it's a boring answer, but it's kind of how it is.
What about the piece where you talk about Shane Waldron and Caleb mm-hmm. Williams not knowing if he could do that, if he could work yeah. with Shane Waldron? What point did that conversation take place? We're just trying to draw a timeline, because obviously Shane Waldron lost his job, as did Matt Eberflus mm-hmm. later on in the season. Can you give us some type of timeline?
Well, so when Waldron was brought in, I think that the collective reaction from the Williams camp was a little underwhelmed. And then they met, and, you know, and Caleb's actually spoken publicly about this, but, you know, he was kind of wondering how they would vibe. And I think it was fine, but he really vibed with Kevin O'Connell. And Kevin O'Connell obviously played quarterback. I think he was a 4-year starter at San Diego State. He played in the NFL for a bit. He's an outstanding offensive mind. And, you know, it really got Caleb energized. But I think as the process went on and he visited the Bears, you know, I think he was energized by the idea of helping, being part of the process to turn that team around.
And then also same kind of question with the timeline. You describe him watching film, but had no mm-hmm. one to guide him and tell him what to watch. At what point of the season was that? Because this is a guy who's now on his third play caller with Ben Johnson taking over as head coach. I'm just curious as to when yeah. he started to realize he wasn't getting what he thought he needed.
Yeah, it was early on and during the season. I think that, you know, he said publicly he wanted to be coached hard. And I don't know if he quite felt that way, you know, once the season was going. And I think that he's really eager for Ben Johnson to coach him hard and to challenge him. And that quote stands out, and it, you know, it makes you shake your head at what's going on in the NFL at times. And, you know, that happens quite a bit. I hate to say it. It's such an indictment on the league, especially at the game's most important position. But, like, you know, Alex Smith has talked about it, and I talked about that with Caleb, where, you know, he was the number one pick of the draft. He goes to a team, and he's watching film by himself. No one taught him how to watch film. And so when he, later on in his career, goes to the Chiefs, and they draft someone by the name of Patrick Mahomes, you know, Alex Smith really took it upon himself to teach Patrick these things that no one taught him, mm-hmm. how to watch film, the ways you do it from the inside out, that type of thing. And, you know, that's the type of instruction that, you know, the Bears didn't provide at times for Caleb Williams. And I think it's a massive indictment on, you know, that staff.
This is ESPN senior writer Seth Wickersham. The book American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, is publishing in September. The article that we are discussing with him are excerpts from Caleb Williams' dad, Carl Williams, talking to him about his son, the draft process, and then what happened afterward. So we have the quote here that you have from Williams, Seth, saying, "I don't want my son playing for the Bears," Williams told several agents in 2024. Mm-hmm. After that reported discussion where Caleb Williams then told Carl he didn't want to nuke the city, were the words that he mm-hmm. used. He didn't want to go against this city. What became Carl's attitude?
He was supporting his son, but he was skeptical. I mean, you know, look at, you know, Carl Williams on Twitter. You know, you can Google it, but, you know, he would tweet things that were, you know, things that made the coaching staff look bad. So it was pretty obvious, you know, how he thought the season was going. And, you know, they didn't play well. I mean, everything he thought could happen, sadly, did happen. I mean, he saw it coming, and that's one of the reasons why he was so passionate about his willingness to take bullets and do what was necessary for his son to have the best chance of success.
Yeah, I think I measured that as Carl Williams being a protective dad, as he should, and wanting the best for his son. I can certainly see where he's coming from in all of this, especially given how last season actually did play out. My question is this: have you had any communication with Carl or Caleb since the Ben Johnson announcement? And if so, what has the attitude been towards Ben Johnson, just in relation to maybe how they described everything before, specifically Kevin O'Connell?
I saw Caleb, I want to say it was after the Johnson hire, and it was maybe early February, I want to say. And I did ask him if, you know, he obviously, like, you know, when he came out and he was drafted and they called his name, you know, he wheeled around that corner and you saw him scream, just let out that huge exhale, that release. And I did ask him whether, you know, the scream that he let out when Ben Johnson was hired was similar in terms of emotion. I think it was. I think he's pretty excited.
I think, Seth, also, you mentioned that scream, and even as I'm picturing it right now, knowing the information that has been released already as part of this book, I think there's a lot of us who wonder what it really meant, if it was truly genuine. You know, how much did that draft visit matter when it came to all the other quotes that you have before?
Which quote?
Well, just all the quotes about not wanting to come here.
What I was trying to take people into was just a little bit of their deliberation process, like how serious it got. It was ultimately Caleb's decision. He made the decision as a grown up, and he, you know, believed he could make it as a Bear. And, you know, we'll see how it goes.
I'm really interested because the book, American Kings, A Biography of the Quarterback, mm-hmm. this is just one facet of it. I know you had access to so many just legends: John Elway, Johnny Unitas, mm-hmm. Warren Moon, the members of the Manning family, as you talked about, Steve Young, mm-hmm. also Kirk Cousins and Drake May, currently playing in the NFL. What was your biggest takeaway through the process of writing this book on the state of the NFL and the quarterback position?
Oh, man. You might have to ask me that again in September when it comes out, when I've had a little bit more time to think about it. I mean, you know, I think what's fascinating is just that, you know, a high school quarterback is not a college quarterback. A college quarterback is not an NFL quarterback. An NFL quarterback is not a generational one. And yet they all have something in common. And when you sign up to do it, especially in this moment of time when it's such a big position and the adulation and the celebrity around it is so great, I think it requires a really unique skill set. At times, you know, you need to be the therapist for the team. At other times, you need to be the biggest jerk on the team. The ego required to go through a game, to enter, you know, walk onto a field on game day without doubt, without feeling doubt, I think is really fascinating. And, you know, a lot of those things have been true as long as the quarterback position's been around, and hopefully people enjoy it.
Seth, how close do you think the Williams family was to actually not being drafted by the Bears in some way, either getting out of it or having one of these plans come to fruition?
I mean, I think it was like, you know, the gasoline's out, do we want to light the match? And Caleb didn't want to light the match.
Wow.
Looking at the experience you've had talking to these quarterbacks, and whether it was agents, whether it was members of different organizations, you know, what Carl Williams said about the Bears being where quarterbacks go to die, he's not the first person to say that. My question is, mm-hmm. through your research, your conversations, how dysfunctional did the Bears appear to be compared to other NFL organizations?
Well, I mean, the head coach and the offensive coordinator didn't make it through the season. So, I mean, you know, this isn't exactly the LA Rams offensive operation. Let's just put it that way.
What were your takeaways from the definitive quote, I think, too, just from Ryan Poles, where it says in this article, Bears GM Ryan Poles stood firm telling Williams we're drafting you no matter what. What were your takeaways from the tone and then also anything you gleaned on the Bears side of it from that that quote as well?
It reminded me a little bit of like Ernie Accorsi in 1983, where, you know, he basically is like, my job is to pick the best player and that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, he picked Elway, and of course, within a week, Elway was traded for, not much of a haul compared to what the Colts could have gotten ahead of time. The Bears were all in on Caleb. I mean, they did not scout Jaden Daniels. You know, they were all in on Caleb. And so, like, you know, he was their guy. And, you know, how... whether that was wise or not, you know, who pans out, who doesn't, you know, a lot of that has to do with luck and circumstance, but, you know, the jury's out. And, you know, Poles made some decisions. He let go of the head coach. He brought in a new one. He got a guy that I know a lot of offensive minds around the league study and steal from. And so I think that, like, you know, there is that opportunity for Caleb to have the pieces in place that maybe would have been better to have a year ago.
I think it also just illustrates the apparent conflict there was and the tense nature of the situation at the time, where it implies that the Bears were aware of what was happening and they already were going into this knowing they might not have a willing participant. Is that fair?
I mean, they had leverage. They had the ultimate leverage at that point. And so, you know, what teams say is football players play football. And, you know, Caleb Williams is a football player. And, you know, so I think that they, you know, believed in their process to make an impression on him throughout the draft process. And they did. And I think that, you know, he was sincerely excited to be a Bear and be part of that turnaround process. You know, as I detailed in there, obviously the first season was a mess. And, you know, we'll see whether Caleb turns out to be, you know, the exception to the rule that the Bears haven't had in a very, very, very long time. Or, you know, as Carl told me, where he says Chicago is the place quarterbacks go to die.
I mean, when you,
every time you say it, it just elicits a reaction, like every single time.
I think the reason why, Seth, is because it's not even an original thought. So many different people have said it, from whether it's a fan, whether it's media, whether it's agents, whether it's a parent. It's been said so many times. We're hoping that trend is over here in Chicago, but there's no evidence that it is. But it seems like at the time right now that they've put a structure in place in which he can succeed, because right now he's not even the best quarterback in his draft class by performance.
Yeah, I mean, I think the good thing is everyone's fates are tied, right? You know, I mean, Caleb's fate is tied to Ben Johnson's, whose fate is tied to Ryan Poles, whose fate is tied to their success. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Seth, again, just thank you for your time. The book is called American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. ESPN senior writer Seth Wickersham. I know we've asked you a ton of questions about this article. What else do you want to share with us that you think is valid for the audience to know, and just what they can expect, you know, either out of the book or just more background?
Well, I mean, the book is a broad book. I mean, I hope it's the most comprehensive look at this position and this unique American job with uniquely American responsibilities, and what it's like to do it from high school to college to the NFL, and what it's like to live with it, you know, in retirement, and, you know, how it came to be, why this position, you know, ended up taking over, you know, shortstops on college campuses and center field for the Yankees in pro sports. And, I think there's just a lot of cool stuff in there, and, you know, Caleb's a character in it, and his story matters, but there's a lot of stories in there that I hope people enjoy.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. We look forward to more articles coming out in connection to this. Something tells me this won't be the only one. Is that fair to say, at least?
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. Hopefully it won't be.
Okay. So more articles that'll come out previewing this book, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, ESPN senior writer Seth Wickersham. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this massive piece of news with us on The Score.
Thanks, Seth.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds! Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Prediction time. Can you please tell us your projected record for the Chicago Bears in 2025? Can you identify one or two turning point games that will determine the season? What does your anticipate being the strength and weakness of this team?
Well, I think in the interest of time, we'll go kind of general portions of the season and then overall record. We can go game by game later if you want. I think the Bears finish slow or start slow, finish strong. I think it's a tough out of the gate challenge when the two NFC North opponents to get right in September. I don't know if they win either of those games. I really have a hard time seeing the Bears winning either of those games. So at first glance, I have the Bears starting 3-5, but finishing 6-3. I've got them winning 9 games. I've got them losing 8 games. I have them winning out in December. Ben Johnson is going to, like many first-year coaches, struggle early as things are kind of slow to adapt. The team's going to struggle maybe at figuring things out, doing things the new way of doing things. But by the mid-season mark, right around the time they beat the Steelers at home and Aaron Rodgers, they'll go on a bit of a roll, and they will win 5 of the final 7 games. That will be the way they go into the offseason. Will it be good enough for a playoff berth? Potentially. But I don't know if 9 wins get you in a wild card spot. But I do have the Bears 9-8, finishing with 4 straight victories in December and into January.
So when you say winning out in December, are you calling for 2 Bears wins over the Packers?
No.
Okay. No, game by. I just wanted to clarify
that part. They're splitting with Green Bay.
Okay, they're splitting with Green Bay. So they don't sweep the board in December. Not quite. Okay. I'm still stuck on 10 wins. I could get to 11 fairly easy, but that gets us into the what's the swing part of the schedule, in your opinion. At the moment, I have the Bears on a two different four-game winning streaks. But the key one will be weeks three through seven in that bye. How do you go into that bye, and how do you come out of that bye, I think will determine whether or not this team wins double digits or, in David's opinion, single digits. I'm at 640 on the 15th of May. I'm at 10-7.
Yeah, it's interesting, guys. I feel like they really need to win that opening game, because I think if they can win the opening game, they can go 3-1 into the bye. I think that that's very important for them to start that way. I've got them with 9 wins on the season, but that is because I think they can start quickly. And if they don't, if they lose to Dallas somehow at home, which I think they will win, if they lose at the Raiders, which they have to win, or if they end up not splitting those first two games, I feel like they're going to be chasing the season more than you want them to. So I think that right away we're going to find out a lot about them. I think the advantage of being at home and having a coach that knows the opponent, as familiar as he is with Minnesota, I think that's a big game for them. So I don't want to say that their season will go one way or another based on that, but I think you got a real possibility if you can beat Minnesota. Then you can lose to the Lions, and I'm not hopeful that they will. That should be pretty interesting, because he should have a lot of insight on that too. But I think you beat Dallas, you beat the Raiders, you go 3-1. Now all of a sudden you got a bye week leading into that Washington game. So you should use that as a way of ensuring you do pretty good against Washington. Then you can beat the Saints. Now all of a sudden you're going in, you can afford to lose a couple of games to the AFC if that's how it goes. So I really like the beginning of the schedule, provided they can split those first two games.
Yeah, that's a good optimistic prediction.
Yeah, but I only have them winning 9 games, and
the defense.
If they lose one of those games, I'm going to 8. So what does that tell you?
Justin Jefferson is going to be a tough challenge for Jalen Johnson in Week 1.
Yeah, no question.
And that who's getting him the ball?
Who's getting Justin Jefferson the ball? I thought you'd have more faith in J.J. McCarthy.
I'll cheer him on anytime he's not playing the Bears. But I think in Week 1, I think he's a game
manager. If he's healthy, he's an impact guy. If he's healthy.
Well, he'll be healthy early, you hope, right?
Just he's got training camp.
Oh, boy. Holy cow. If it's that touch and go.
That's when he got hurt last year.
All right, so we all agree on a winning record.
Winning record.
We got 2-9-8.
New day in Chicago.
And a 10-7.
The Ben Johnson era is a winning one.
Okay.
Brandon?
I got him 9-8 right now.
Yeah.
I got a 3-way tie in the NFC North.
We should say Vegas has him at 8.5.
Yeah,
so,
8.5.
So, you know, you're either going over or under, and we're all going over here, which is the disaster.
Well, I don't know if it's a disaster.
Yeah. But I really think the key to the schedule is going to be the beginning of it, just the way I'm looking at it. All right. We'll get into it. We'll talk about it. We're going to talk to our buddy Big Zeeves pretty soon at 7 o'clock here. 312-644-6767. Mullion Hall on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We cooking with hot grease now, man.
Afternoons on the Score.
You obviously look into it to be the only team without a 3,000-yard passer, I believe, right? 4,000? 4,000, yeah, four. You look into it, and you wonder why. And I ask questions, obviously. I have no shame in asking questions. And so, you know, you ask why and things like that, and they're all for answering questions. They told the truth, and, you know, That's what that was. They told me the truth. They told me and my dad the truth about why and what and where and how it's going to change. And you know, that's what we're excited about.
Caleb Williams talking about the Bears and why he felt more comfortable after sitting down and talking with the Bears. We're talking about Seth Wickersham's piece, his excerpt from his book that he is writing about quarterbacking. And there's a lot of stories about Caleb Williams and his father and some of the trepidation that they had with the Bears as an organization. Before we went to break, Speaks, you asked me a question.
Yo.
The question about how do I feel about them bucking against the system?
Do you blame Caleb and his dad for considering everything that they considered and getting that close to the nuclear option of trash-talking Chicago and the organization to try and get out of it?
Not one bit. I think that the people are starting now to look at the draft is something that is antiquated and is a measure of control. I agree with Carl Williams about the CBA.
Oh my God.
I've had strong feelings about it since the time I was covering the league every day, that it's not great and it's not great and it's going to have to change because some of these guys, and Caleb is patient zero in this. Some of these guys are walking in with money. Now, this is part of the reason that I made the comp between him and Shador, because I think Caleb, even with all of this fear and trepidation on how the organization might look, he went into the process with open eyes and an open heart. And I think that he still showed out, whether he was talking to the Bears, he was talking to the Vikings, he was talking to the Giants. He did everything he could to make himself as wanted and as valuable, even knowing that he was going to be the number one pick. I wish Shador would have taken the same approach with the way that he handled some of the pre-draft stuff.
Understood. Yeah, I can't blame Caleb either. And we had these conversations at the time. He was the emblem of the empowerment of the college athlete. like the first real NIL superstar with serious money who thought that maybe things should change. And it's been pushing this way for a long time. The draft is, you know, when you really think about it and how many businesses do not function this way, you usually get a little more say in what happens to you, you know? So it was only a matter of time before, you know, people tried to push, but they didn't go the final way because of the public unseemliness of it and the comfort level of the kid himself, who didn't want to start his career with that happening. So he talked his dad out of it, is what happened here.
I remember Dan and I going through some of the stuff that Colin Cowherd had reported, because Colin was tight, clearly tight with Caleb Williams's group.
Big time USC connections always.
100%.
And found his way into the Caleb peoples, yes.
And you guys talked to him.
We did.
And I felt like Colin had kind of backtracked a little bit.
He absolutely did. And he tried to do it with elegance and humor. But yeah, you could tell he was not going to give up the ghost.
But what he said on his show was right. Speaking of Colin Cowherd, the Bears head coach talked with Colin Cowherd on The Herd about the Wickersham report.
So all human beings are the same in one aspect. If you're afraid of flying and you're on a plane and the minute turbulence hits, where does your mind go? Back to your fears. So I reported a year ago, Seth Wickersham reported it today, that Caleb was worried about the history of the Bears offense. And so you didn't inherit it. That's not your issue. You don't care about that. But there is a psychology, Ben, that's true. He goes into a 2-week losing streak. And it's turbulence on a plane that he was scared to fly anyway. How do you ensure that when there are bumps in this division and there are bumps for him, that those fears that are now reported of, oh, man, this organization and quarterback, he's had those. That's okay. Some installed by his dad, whatever. How do you ensure during the turbulence of this season, and there will be, your division's too good. There's too many good teams on the schedule. How do you ensure he doesn't lose faith and belief in your system?
Well, you talk about fears, and I don't see it quite the same way. I see this as what a great opportunity we have to do something that really has never been done. There hasn't been a 4,000-yard passer here in this franchise, and I think Caleb's going to be the first one, and one of many years, many seasons to come where he's able to accomplish that feat. So, I see a chance for greatness here for him. He's been communicated that way, and he feels the same way. I don't know what's gone on prior to him joining the organization, but he is very proud to be a Chicago Bear. That's what our conversations have included, and he's really excited to get to work right now and be the best version of himself for 2025. There's no question we're going to face adversity. Both he will. He's not going to. We want to see growth from here to here over the course of the season. It's not going to be linear growth. It's going to be a little bit of ups and downs and stair steps along the way. But we want to see from game one to game 17 that we're getting better as a whole. And that's not just him. That's us as a team as well. So I'm excited. That's what makes coaching fun, is when the hiccups occur, when the adversity strikes. How do we respond to it? That's when you find out who you are as a man.
It's good stuff from Ben Johnson. He knows the 4,000-yard stat and threw it out there. After the pre-draft visit, when Caleb went to his dad and said, I can do it for this team, I'm going to go to the Bears, that's still where his mindset ought to be, and now he's got a guy to do it with. So he can do it for this team. It took a year of ugliness for him to survive, and Poles ended up surviving, which is a surprise, obviously, but it took all that to happen. Now he's got a partner to do it. Let me tell you what Ben Johnson knows how to do. Teach him how to watch film. Ben Johnson is going to, I mean,
if he doesn't, Declan Doyle does.
Right, because that's what Declan does. Hell, I bet JT Barrett does too. You know, it's like, they're not going
and
to have.
So does Case Keenum.
Well, and that is helpful as well, isn't it? He's got a very different kind of circle around him, and shame on Ryan Poles for not giving him what he needed as a rookie. But I think Caleb is in the spot now where he can do it for this team. Now he's empowered with what he needs to do.
100%. There's an opportunity here. You're in a much better situation, and probably the best situation for where you're at in your career.
Haven't we seen Caleb's attitude? Like the facial expressions and the vibe he had when he was on with the St. Brown brothers, just hanging out, chilling, talking about how happy he was to be with Ben.
Now juxtapose that with a laughing Shane Waldron on the bench and Caleb basically looking for a camera as if he's on Three's Company to be like, help! Please, someone help. Look at this guy. Look at this guy that they have in charge of our offense here.
In the months before the 2024 draft, according to Seth Wickersham, Caleb Williams wondered aloud to his confidants, I don't think I can do it with Waldron. Leading up to the draft, he's thinking, I don't think I can do it with that guy. And he was right. What a horrendous, embarrassing hire.
It's even more like impressive about this young man, like knowing what we know now about how he felt about all of it. And he's still, from the very beginning, at the Lakers game, doing the bear claw, starting the Go Bears. And maybe that was a little bit of like making himself feel it, almost lying to himself a little bit too. But he did what he had to do, which is very mature for someone that age. And then what we know, everything else that came after that.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Lilo Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
My dad's been a part of my life. And he's a lot smarter than me, has a lot more wisdom than me. So that's why he's heard a lot of people speak before he's in the world of business and real estate. So he's been in it for many, many years. So the wisdom part and me trusting him, that's why he's a part of it. So the explanation was just that they haven't put, you know, everybody in the right spaces. You know, that's their mission and goal here. That's why y'all have been seeing, you know, the people hired, whether it's coaches, executives, PR teams and things like that. And then getting those right people to bring in the right people for the culture.
That was Caleb Williams talking about the Bears. The reason we are talking about Caleb Williams, not the Bears schedule, not other things right now, is some breaking news that happened. A story broke on ESPN earlier today, a summary of quotes that Carl Williams, Caleb's dad, gave to Seth Wickersham, the author of a book called American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. And these are in the months before Carl Williams' son, Caleb, was drafted by the Bears. It is a blockbuster article, even though it is only a couple of pages because of the quotes. And it certainly makes you understand, A, what Colin Coward had to say, I think, the suspicion that Caleb Williams did not want to go to the Bears before he got drafted here. Ultimately, the report that he was okay with it after visiting the team, but then the dissension therein that has happened since. It makes a lot of things make sense, but also is it a little bit of covering up for other sins that happened during the season? That's what we're trying to parse through and figure out, because this information is a game changer.
You called it breaking news, so let's just say breaking news on The Score, brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. We were hoping Caleb Williams would create big memories in year one. There were big memories created, but for the wrong reasons. A 10-game losing streak, struggles with the team overall, underachieving, a fired head coach for the first time in Bears history in midseason, also an offensive coordinator dismissed in Shane Waldron, one that Caleb Williams, according to Seth Wickersham in his book, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, which, by the way, won't be released. It'll be published in September. He tells him basically that he was left alone to study film by himself and didn't know what he was supposed to be watching. He also said that before the draft, he told his dad, Carl Williams, that he didn't know if he could work with one Shane Waldron, and that he'd rather play for the Vikings because of a kinship he developed at the draft combine with Kevin O'Connell, their head coach. So there's a lot of different things that we learn, but I think that last point about him studying film, I just want to make sure he's in a better place now with Ben Johnson. And I am assuming he is.
And this is all word from Carl Williams to Seth Wickersham. And I think that's important to note here as well, is who's telling who what and for what reason. The book that is coming out in September, the fact that this is after everything that's gone on, the fact that a lot of Williams's concern reportedly, Caleb's, was before he was drafted and before he had visited the Bears facilities. But we're already getting a lot of texts right now, and I understand a reaction on Twitch as well. That chat goes a mile a minute, no, though, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. And I can't help but think about how many different ways this makes me look at quotes during the season. Quotes from people. Quotes from guys like Colin Cowherd. Suspicions that other people had as to whether or not he wanted to come here. The discussion, you know, with Kevin O'Connell. Did the Bears do the right thing in investing in the person who may have not still wanted to come here by catering to everything around him? Yes, I want to make that very clear. When somebody doesn't want to go to your team, and it's an indictment of your team and your structure, and you also have to ask yourself why, not just necessarily if he's the best fit, but you also have to be able to say, what are we doing that would make a quarterback so discouraged to be here? So the actions they've taken since, I applaud. But regardless, this makes a lot of last season make a lot more sense to me.
I think the big thing that I want to reiterate, because I was very strong on this before last season, but also just in general, when you have what you believe is a generational talent and a quarterback that you're going to take 1-1, I think he needs to be paired with an offensive-minded head coach. I said that before Matt Eberflus was hired in regard to Justin Fields. I said that when Matt Eberflus struggled after the one rebuilding year where we knew they were basically tanking. I said, but if you're going to draft Caleb Williams, it needs to be an offensive-minded head coach. And when they hired Shane Waldron, I was like, I guess that'll do for now. But we knew that Matt Eberflus was on the clock after a 7-10 season. And, of course, what happened after was just awful all the way around. And this just gives another layer to how bad things were.
I mean, it's one thing for us to say Chicago is a place where quarterbacks go to die. It's another thing when you hear from somebody else whose son was a potential first overall pick.
And also it's the idea of the circumventing the cap. The fact that he reached out to Archie Manning because he's
CBA,
like,
you
figured out how to do this. Can you talk to me about how to do this? How could I orchestrate not getting picked by the Bears?
I mean, the direct quote that Williams told several agents last year, according to this book, I don't want my son playing for the Bears. I also went back not only to Colin Cowherd's statements that really ended up being a flashpoint as to whether or not that was correct, whether or not you considered his sources. Did he really want to be here? We all remember that discussion in April of 2024 leading up to this. But it also made me think about quotes from Ryan Poles recently as the NFL Combine, when it came to what went wrong last year. So we already have in this article the information that Caleb Williams was apprehensive because of Shane Waldron already being hired. Shane Waldron, whose agent was who? Trace Armstrong, the same agent that represents Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus. So knowing all of that, let's listen back to this quote that Ryan Poles gave SiriusXM when it came to, and Pro Football Talk, when it came to how the season fell apart early on in training camp.
It was probably some steps skipped in the very beginning, just in terms of building the foundation.
Gotcha.
Some of the things that you have to have to and what I believe to operate at a high level in this league, even as a rookie. And I think that was accelerated probably a little bit much
just
for him.
Because you wanted to get him in there and get him started and see him playing.
Yep.
Right?
Okay. And with that, some of those things, as you know, as the league studies and figures things out, it gets exposed as you go along.
Right.
But what you saw was his talent show up countless throughout the entire season, especially in critical moments. That was the most important thing for me to take away from the season. In those critical moments, could he elevate his game? And unfortunately, a lot of those, we didn't finish the game for whatever reason. But you saw him elevate and put us in a position to win. And I think we're going to be able to hold on to that. And that's going to show up as we move into the future.
You know what? I agree with Ryan Poles on the one part at the end where he talks about him elevating his game. I think you can clearly look back at what happened in each Bears game. And now it just makes me think there was this mountain that he had to overcome just to get to above water, if you will, in any given game. And to say, okay, I'm going to try to ball out here in the third and fourth quarter and bring my team a chance to win this game, because it doesn't seem like he was getting the preparation and support he needed before said game.
Kevin Fishbane, Adam Johns wrote an article in The Athletic. I've quoted a lot, updated April 3rd of this season. And it says that quote to SiriusXM that Poles had as well. I think through the process, probably some unknowns, we probably skipped some steps in Caleb Williams' development. Some of those critical things that you really can't go to step two before you finish step one, and that takes some time. So bringing him onto the ground floor and building him back up is going to be critical. They're going to be very honest with each other in terms of what needs to happen to take that next step. I think about all of these things because how do you start with somebody who you know might not have wanted to be here? Or at least a major part of his life didn't want him here, and his father. And then how are you building onto that at the top of the season? If outright Caleb Williams was already worried about Shane Waldron, but you also knew as soon as you had that first overall pick that you were drafting him, then why'd you still make that decision? And then furthermore, quarterbacks should outlast offensive coordinators in the NFL. When you consider that the NFL has a two-year cycle on offensive coordinators before they go to other jobs or before they become head coaches, why in that moment did you not decide to build around your quarterback when you decided that you were going to make that investment? When the quote from Ryan Poles in here says, we're going to draft you no matter what. Well, what was what then?
I think
no matter what?
I think there's a level of stubbornness, maybe. You know, Ryan Poles is in charge. It's his first GM job. He has made many mistakes. We have recorded a lot of those mistakes that we have the receipts for. This can be added maybe to them. But it's an interesting concept, right? Because if they do go and say, we're not going to play for you, and he's like, we're drafting you for no matter what, and he says no, and let's say they even work out a trade, right? And Jaden Daniels becomes the Bears quarterback because now they have the number two pick, and Caleb Williams is playing in D.C. Now, it's a problem for Ryan Poles because Caleb Williams is probably playing at a higher level with Dan Quinn, with Cliff Kingsbury, because they know what they're doing. They have proven track records with young quarterbacks, right? And you're left with Jaden Daniels, who's going to be in this house of mirrors where he doesn't understand, am I even good anymore? I don't know what's going on because Shane Waldron doesn't have me prepared every week if what Caleb Williams is telling his dad here is true.
We're going to get Seth Wickersham at the top in like 5 minutes.
That means we need to take a break.
Okay, so Seth Wickersham, the author of the book that is coming out that involves the blockbuster quotes from Carl Williams, Caleb Williams' dad, about the time leading up to when he was drafted by the Bears. That is all coming up next. Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Hey, Colson.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's Ryan Poles from the Bears. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good. Ready to be a Chicago Bear?
Let's go, coach. Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
So with the 10th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Colston Loveland, tight end, Michigan.
Really, with Colson, it starts with the person more so than the player. Listen, and I love the tape. I love everything about the tape. But when you get to know him as a man, it's really intriguing. It's who we want to be going forward, in my opinion.
You know, I asked him about his hand strength because not only can you see it when he catches the ball, but when he blocks. And he was like, have you ever put up wire fence in Idaho before? I said, no.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're delighted to welcome in the newest Bears top draft pick. It's Colston Loveland, tight end from Michigan. Colston, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, it's great to talk to you. We're really pumped up for the beginning of your career and the entirety of it, for God's sake. Were you surprised that the Bears were the team that took you? Did you kind of suspect that you would be the first tight end off the board and that you had connected with them a little bit?
I know throughout the process, I definitely had connected with them. Met them with them a couple times, especially at Pro Day. Felt like that was a good meeting. But, you know, you're never too sure. Anything can happen. So I was just did, yeah, I mean, it was a little unexpected, but once I got the call, you know, I was like, oh, this makes sense. Felt like I did good in the meeting. And yeah, I mean, I'm just glad I'm very appreciative and thank God for being the first tight end off the board. But, you know, like you said, it's just getting started. I haven't done a thing yet here, so got to go prove myself now.
You were not able to take part in the rookie minicamp, but you did pad out. I thought that was interesting. In terms of your observations of how Ben Johnson coached the rookies over the weekend and just your overall impressions of the Bears' first-time head coach, what would they be?
Yeah, a big fan. He's very detail-oriented. You could tell just everything, the alignments, the splits, everything's got to be perfect, which is how it should be. You know, he wouldn't want it any other way. Very smart, intelligent, obviously. He knows ball. Yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm excited to see how he keeps growing.
So we know that you told the general manager you ever put up any wire fences in Idaho before. That was awesome. Will you ever have to put up any wire fences again? I mean, you got your contract done. Did you buy the family a new farm? How far does that money go in Idaho, for God's sake?
You know, the market's kind of high everywhere these days, but if I ever go back home and they need help, I'll definitely help them. Never too good for that.
How has this played back home? You come from a small town. We've made a lot out of that. You come to Chicago, and certainly there's a lot of anticipation and excitement of what you can do on the field. But how would you describe what this has done to your family, to your stature back home, and how you will always be a kid from a small town in a big city?
Yeah. The family's super excited. They're super proud. But I couldn't have done any of this, obviously, without them and their support. So it's just kind of cool to see this all unfold. It's something we've dreamed about, something we've talked about. And to see it unfold, it's pretty cool. But like I said, it's just the start. I got bigger goals. I want to go win. You know, we got to go win games. We got to go do stuff. Got to go prove ourselves. So just ready to get out there and get the ball rolling, really.
So we understand that you, had the AC joint, the injury last year, your last year at Michigan. And, just watching some of the tape, it looked like a very painful injury. I mean, there were different times where you were wincing when going down, when getting hit, but you played through it. Was there ever a consideration of stopping that season? Obviously you didn't have the same quarterback there. You guys were a national championship team, but you were in transition a little bit. Did you ever think about trying to get that surgery done earlier, or did you feel just too much of a commitment to that? And how are you doing now?
I'm doing great now. Finally, it's good to get it fixed, but maybe things would have been different if I actually knew throughout the season that I needed surgery, but I didn't know I needed surgery till after the season. And then just playing through it, like I've always been taught and just growing up, like the team's first, you got to do whatever to help the team win. You got to play through injury sometimes, you got to play through pain, and that's something that I did for sure. Like I said, it's all about the team, and I put the team first and everything. So however I can go out there, do my job, and help the team win, that's what I want to do. So,
talk with Bears tight end Colston Loveland here on Mullen Haw on the Score. So, Colston, we have described you as a wide receiver in a tight end's body. A lot of people have used that characterization, and I wonder how you feel about that description. Is it accurate in your mind, and does that maybe take into account the fact that, does it not take into the fact that you're also a quality blocker?
Yeah. I mean, I think I can do it all. Obviously, we've got a lot of room for improvement in all parts of my game. But, I guess you can take it however you want to take it when people say that it's a tight end or a receiver in a tight end body. I think my route running separation I get is very good. This needs improvement for sure, and I think in the run game, just consistency. But there's good stuff on tape. But we're at the higher level now, so things are going to get turned up a notch. So I just got to continue to work on my craft, get better, and use the guys around me, the vets around me, to get better. And
So obviously, when you think about what happened last year with the injury, you played a lot on the outside. You were like a matchup nightmare. You mentioned your route running ability. It's been commented upon by everyone, but you've also played in line. You just didn't get to do a lot of that last year. And when you think about the NFL and you think about the position you play, there are so many elements to it. Like you have to know and excel at the passing game, but you also have to be aware of the running game. You have to help in the running game. You got to help in the pass protection game. They say, generally speaking, that other than the quarterback, the tight end has the most to learn. How have you gone about trying to learn this offense as you're just beginning your career here?
It's just diving in the playbook, always in the playbook. Obviously, rookie minicamp, we had some installs. Those are super basic installs, but we had those installs, so that's a good start. And then just looking in the playbook, meeting with coach, getting with some vets, just always looking at the plays and getting bets. Because if you go out there and you don't know the plays, obviously you're not going to be successful. You're going to play slow, thinking too much. So the main thing is get the playbook down. That way I can play fast. And then, you know, from there, just keep going.
Have you talked with Cole Kmet directly? Have you met with Caleb Williams yet? Are the plans to get together with the receivers and the quarterback in the offseason after these mini camps end?
This week is a good start. You know, like I said, we just had rookie minicamp, so kind of haven't been able to pass through with the vets. But now that we're all in the same building at the same time, it's gonna ramp up for sure, and I'm excited about it.
So by all accounts, you're going to be ready to begin like full go workouts by training camp, maybe before training camp. But at this point, I would imagine that, you know, you're doing a lot of running and doing a lot of things, but you can't probably lift yet, right? With a shoulder injury, certainly you got to be careful about overhead stuff. I always recommend lower weights and building up. Where are you at in terms of just being able to lift? Are you anxious to get going on that? Do you miss it, or are you kind of used to being limited?
No, I mean, obviously I'm anxious, and I want to be able to do everything. This is the nature of it. I'm a competitor. I want to go out there and do it all. But you got to know, you got to be smart, and we got some time. So just take it slow. Just listen to the training staff. Just do what I can at the best of my ability. I'm lifting, but like you said, you got to take it light. Just day by day, stack the bricks. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm just taking it one day at a time, staying where my feet are.
Stack the bricks. I like that. So you're in Lake Forest. I heard you compare that a little bit favorably to Ann Arbor. What are your impressions of just being in the Chicago area? Have you been into the city yet? You have any impressions of Chicago overall? I know it's not been long, but people are pretty excited about your arrival.
Yeah, I haven't been in the city yet, just in this Lake Forest area. And like I said, it's beautiful. It's a nice area. And the people I've met, the people have been super nice, good people. I've kind of just been in the hotel, in the facility, so I haven't obviously done a whole lot. This far I'm a big fan of it. The people are great. I'm excited to keep exploring.
Are you going to do anything, take any trip or go anywhere? What's your game plan for just the off season?
Well, I think, you know, I don't have a plan yet, but I think just being around here and just staying here, you know, getting right with the training room, getting right with the vets, maybe go home if I get some time, see the family, or they'll come up here. But right now I'm just focused on getting back to the plan.
Not building any fences, are you? Stay off the horses, too.
Yep.
Great stuff. Hey, Colston, congratulations. We're really excited to get a chance to meet you and to watch you and follow your career. Really just a great time in your life.
Thanks, Colston.
Yep, thank you guys so much.
That is Colston Loveland. He is the newest Bears player, and we are looking forward to getting to know him a little bit.
Yeah, sharp guy. Sharp guy, good impression, and nice addition to the Bear offense. Ben Johnson's going to have a lot of fun calling plays for him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.